Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Michael P. McCarthy.
Happy to join you as always.
Well, it's good to have you, my friend. And we are on another open show tonight, Michael.
Yeah, looking for those callers.
We're looking for those callers. If you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680 is the way to call in and direct the conversation tonight, so that if there's a topic that you're interested in, that you say, this is what's most important to me, and if you could help me answer this question, this would give me an incredible benefit. But, you know, the other cool thing is, Mike, is that when people call in and ask a question, there's probably 10, 20 other people out there that wanted to hear that same question, but just don't like calling into radio and so forth. So do your fellow listeners a favor, call and ask your question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. And it could be on anything dealing with personal finance. Maybe it's dealing with estate planning. Maybe it's dealing with income taxes. Maybe it's dealing with your medical insurance, your long-term care insurance, your auto home insurance, your 401k, your IRA, your Roth IRA, elder care planning. Maybe you got a parent who has a need for long-term nursing care and you don't know what to do and so forth. If it's dealing with your personal finances, we're here to answer it and demonstrate what a true professional advisor is supposed to do. And that is to be a comprehensive advisor, not just take your money and try to make money off of your money for themselves. They should be experts in many areas of personal finance and helping guiding you day in and day out through the intricacies of the personal financial world. Matter of fact, just today, Chris, Mike, I had a client call. Her father has had a stroke, and there's a significant issue that mother and daughter are now going to have to deal with. And he was doing all the investing and everything, and they were trying to figure out what do they do, how do they take over. And we were there to help guide them through that very difficult situation now for them. So, you know, there's all kinds of topics, 410-922-6680.
So, Drew, as you say that, one of the things it reminds me, and this is true for many parts of our life, not just our finances, but part of having a good financial advisor is having a good relationship with a financial advisor, one of trust, where you feel comfortable bringing up the topics that you're worried about. And also just the comfort that clients can get from having a third party, somebody who's kind of out of the situation to weigh in on their situation. I can't tell you how many complex family issues we get into, but I can tell everyone this one tip: don't do business with family.
Don't do business. Well, you know, that's a principle I always teach my clients, is that if a family member wants a loan, I say no. And they say, well, they're not going to be able to get it if I don't help them and I don't co-sign or something like that. And I say, well, there's a purpose that they weren't going to get it if you didn't co-sign it. So I say, if you want to lend them money, do it as a gift. Don't tell them it's a gift, but in your heart, believe it's a gift. So what do you got going on there, Mikey? You
so
got somebody coming
in?
We
have on line one, getting queued up now, we've got Steve in Baltimore City. He wants to talk about pension plans, and let's go right to Steve. Steve, how can we help you?
Steve.
Well, I'd like to know about my pension plan. I have $122,000 in a pension plan. I'm 65 years old. I was told that I had to start withdrawing at age 65. I'm still working. Don't want to make my income higher. I'd like to know, can I roll that over into some other type of account where I don't have to draw it right now?
Now, you're talking about a monthly pension, right, Steve?
Not actually sure. I never even looked into it because I have no plans to retire right now. And
Do you mind telling, are you working for Hopkins?
No, sir.
Okay. There are a few companies that do require you to take your pension, and normally it's a monthly pension that they're talking about, Steve. So if it's a monthly pension, the only thing you can do with it is use it to contribute more to your 401k possibly. But I'd have to know what kind of pension you're getting. If it's a lump sum, then you could roll it over to an IRA. But it's highly unlikely what you're talking about is a lump sum pension. What you're talking about is highly likely to be a monthly pension.
I can take the lump sum because the pension was frozen over 20 years ago. And
okay.
The account is a Nestle's account. And they're basically...
If you could take a lump sum, then you have the full right to take the lump sum and roll it over to an IRA.
Okay, that'd be great. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Yeah, but if it's a monthly pension, the only thing you're going to be able to do is to just use it to enhance 401k contributions or something like that. All right?
I got you. Thank you very much.
All right.
All right, Mikey, if you finished fooling around there.
We got Bob in Kent Island. Bob, you wanted to talk about the market. How can we help you?
Hey, I love your show. Listen all the time.
I'm oh, great.
I'm very concerned about the run-up of the stock market. Sooner or later, we got to pay the piper. I'm 86 years old. Since 1995,
wait, Bob,
I've had a brokerage account. All large cap.
Bob, let me ask you a question, okay?
Sure.
In 1980... the Dow Jones Industrial Average was at something like 700 to 1,000. In
right.
2000, 20 years later, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was at 11,500. In 2000, the Dow was at 11,500. Today, it's 40,000. So in the last 20 years, the Dow's gone up fourfold. In the 20 years between 1980 and 2000, it went up 11 or more fold. So why are people so concerned about the market today, but they never really, I never heard people saying that the stock market was way overvalued in 1985, 1990, 95, 2000 even, you know? So I'm not sure.
Because of present administration that we
well, that's my favorite.
Washington.
Yeah, that's my favorite topic, okay? And that is I'm a fan of Republicans, not Democrats. I'll be honest, but I'll tell you this. My history tells me I don't give a darn who the president is and what they're doing, and the politicians are noise for the economy. That they don't affect the markets and they don't affect the economy as much as they think they do. And here's the good news. Actually, Democrats over history have proven to be better for the stock market more by coincidence than they've actually been of any benefit. And that's the truth of the market. So don't worry about who's the politician. But we have to go to traffic, Mikey. So we're going to have to roll. I'm sorry I can't discuss that with you more, but we're going to go to traffic
right
now.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. All right. Take it away, traffic.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And I'm here with Michael P. McCarthy. We're on an open show tonight. That means our guests are our listeners are our guests. They get to direct the conversation. They could say, hey, you know, this is a topic that I'd like to know about. And if you could help me with it, it'd be very beneficial. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. Who's up next, Mikey?
We have Sean. Sean in the Eastern Shore. How can we help you?
Yes, sir. Great show. Thank you for taking my call. Got a question. I'm going to be 59 in June. I have a pension plan. The plan originally was to go out at 67, but I have another job opportunity I'm considering. If I leave the company now, I'll take a 33% hit in the pension. Sounds like a lot, but I've done a spreadsheet, and if I take the pension now and take the other job and work for 8 more years, roughly, that puts a lot more cash in my pocket that can be reinvested. And going forward, if you invest that money, even if you didn't invest it, actually, the two don't cross. I mean, it seems to me to come out ahead.
Let's address this, okay, Sean? So first off, yes, you would take a 33% hit, but I bet you if you let it, if you leave and you let the pension sit and you don't touch it until 65, you wouldn't take any hit. So now here's the question you have to ask yourself, okay? If you take that pension, remember, you got to pay taxes on that pension. And now you've got this extra income you've got. So you're going to have an extra high tax bracket. You're going to be paying taxes on that money. So make sure you factor your tax situation into the withdrawal of that pension. Your analysis should be, should I take the pension now or should I let it sit until I'm 65 and then get the full amount and not have to pay any taxes on that for the next 5 years or so?
So you're right about part of it, but the pension doesn't grow if I'm not there, because part of the calculation is earned income with that company.
So is it a cash balance plan or is it a defined pension plan, a defined benefit plan?
It's an annuity plan.
I'd have to see what they're saying. I would like to get what I would do if you were working with me. What I would do is I'd say, okay, what's the calculation right now on that pension if you took it?
Right.
And then I'd say, okay, if I wait until 65, what are you going to give me? And depending on what the answer is between those two numbers, that would tell me whether I'm going to take it or not.
And that's a 33% difference I'm talking about.
But if you wait until 65, is it going to be 33% more? I'm not talking about working to 65. I'm talking about you just let it sit until you're age 65. And I bet you you're missing a number there. I'll bet you that if you said to them, if I don't touch it until I'm 65, what would it be, assuming I don't work for you? And I don't know if you could ask that question, but if you can, that would be a good question to ask. If I retired now and I don't touch it until I'm 65, how much am I going to get?
Right. And let's say it did grow like you said.
Okay.
Then would it seem like not touching it and taking the other job would be better? Or
well, I think, it depends. It depends on how much. Is the other job a higher salary or equal salary?
Equal or higher.
Equal or higher. You know, I mean, there's a lot of calculations that we would do. We would do the, okay, if I'm paying taxes on this pension and I get this new salary, et cetera, how much am I going to have and how much is my, you know, what's the difference between my retirement doing this, doing that? If I take the new job, but I don't take the pension, I get a higher amount. How's that add up? Or if I just stay with my company for another 5 or 6 years, how does that add up? And those are the three calculations we would go through to help you make that decision. That's what I would be thinking.
Okay.
All right, my friend. Yeah, good question, though. Very good.
Well, waste no time. We've got our friend Chuck. Chuck in Brooklyn Park, you've been waiting a long time. We appreciate that.
Oh, that's quite okay. I started a Roth, I'm going to say about 7 or 8, maybe even as long as 10 years ago.
Okay.
And I developed cancer and had a bout with that, and I kind of sidelined it, okay? So the account was open, but my question is it active if there's no money in it, if there was no deposit? Because I know there's a five-year thing before you can draw money out, and I'm thinking...
How old are you, Chuck?
No money. I'm 64 years old.
So do you have money in your Roth IRA right now?
Now I do, yes. But okay. I didn't back then, so I'm wondering about, would the 5 years start once a deposit was made or when the account...
Did you ever have a deposit in it back then when you opened the account?
I started it, and then I got sidelined because I had a bunch of medical expenses.
Okay, so you set up a Roth, but you never deposited a nickel into it.
No.
Your five-year clock starts when you deposit your first dollar in it, unfortunately.
I should have just put $5 in it. But
you could have. That would have been perfect. We do that all the time. We get clients in, we open up a Roth, we put $100 in it.
Also, there would have been no money to withdraw anyway, so, right?
Yeah, but you know, but that's the strategy.
That I do believe. I just wanted to know. So now it's a 5 year wait for me because I just started putting off deposits.
Well, Chuck, did you put your deposit in for the 2020 tax year?
No, actually, I did it in the 2021 because I had already filed my taxes.
Well, that's okay. Did you do it before May 17th? Did you put the money in before May 17th?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so go back to your custodian and tell them that deposit was for 2020, not for 2021.
Okay, and they'll file something with the IRS?
No, they won't file anything. Well, they'll do is when they file their 5498, they'll just say that you put a deposit in 2021, nothing else.
But, I think I might have one or two small.
But here's the key, though, Chuck. You ready? If your deposit was for 2020, do you know when the five-year clock ends?
I guess I could start withdrawals in 2026.
2025, actually, because 2020 would be 1 year, 2021, 22, 23, 24, 2025. Now, if you do it for 2021, you're going to have to wait until 2026. And even though the money's not in there 5 chronological years, it only has to be in for 5 Roth years. So if you put it in for 2020, that makes it eligible in 2025. So change it to 2020 contribution, my friend.
Yeah, well, this is something I recommend to anybody. The minute they hit 50, they should start doing this, regardless of what
we do it all the time.
Are you allowed to start a Roth if you have a IRA? Can you have both?
Yeah, absolutely. As long as you get it in there legitimately, you got to do it either as a contribution or a conversion. But that's even just $100, $5, as you said, works, gets its clock started. All right, my friend, good question. Excellent point. And let's go to a pause.
Let's
take it away, pause.
Bait.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Always can count on Chris to give me music I've never heard before. But that's okay. We're on an open show tonight. 410-922-6680, and nobody's online, right, Mikey?
No. We've got callers waiting for us.
No. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. So, John and Towson, thanks for waiting. How can we help you?
Hey, I got a kid who I think's finally getting his act together, but he's in his mid-20s, and he's back in school getting a. Some kind of computer degree so he can get a regular job, you know. That's what the last couple of years. He's studying hard, so he hadn't made any earnings and didn't file no tax returns. And he ran up about $30,000, $40,000 of credit card debt. So he's thinking of doing file a bankruptcy and because he can't really pay it. But I think he's got a future now, and I'm not willing to pay it off because I think he's got to learn a lesson. He's young enough to get by. So I'm kind of keeping my hands off, you know. But I'm just wondering, should he, now with the stimulus coming, can he What should he do about filing tax return or not, and filing?
Yeah, he should definitely file a tax return and get all those stimulus checks. I mean, he'll get like, I don't know, $3,200 worth of stimulus checks. So he should definitely have filed a tax return.
Now, what about the bankruptcy, though? Does that, you know, don't they ask for, you know, like tax? I'm sure. I don't know. I never did it, but don't they ask for you? Financial history.
Well, they're going to ask for everything they can get to help to prove what does he have, what could he possibly have, et cetera, et cetera. So now's the time to file bankruptcy before he actually starts working and so forth and making any kind of real income. But he should at least get the stimulus checks because, you know, he could use it to help pay the attorney for the bankruptcy.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
That's $1,500 to $2,000, and I admire you not bailing him out. That is an important lesson that all parents have to remember. You can't hold your children's hands during their maturing years of their financial development, or else they're going to make bad habits, you know, and so forth. So that's a good decision on your part. He's got to learn how to get himself out of the mess he got him in, right?
Okay, well, thank you. But when he gets these last stimulus checks, aren't the bankruptcy folks just going to say, "Well, we don't take it"?
Has he already gotten into stimulus checks?
No, that's what I say. He hadn't.
No, I'm sorry. Has he already filed bankruptcy?
No, he hadn't done anything yet.
File the tax returns. The bankruptcy checks. The stimulus checks cannot be taken by the bankruptcy people. They'll come to him. And then the bankruptcy people have to try to figure out how to get it from them if they can. So, but he has the right to use that to pay the lawyers first and foremost. And they can't stop him from using it to pay for the lawyers. And he could probably use it for a few other things before they ever, before they're ever going to get in touch with it. So,
I see. So the bankruptcy itself can't, what do they call that, garnish? Is that the word?
There's nothing to garnish, though, and they can't garnish stimulus checks. No, that was the rule they put in. No, you can't. They can't attach the stimulus checks.
Okay.
All right, my friend.
You guys are great. Thank you. Now.
Take care. Bye.
So we'll keep on rolling, but it's still an open show. But let's go right to Lee in Towson. Lee, how can we help you?
I got a couple questions. One thing is, can I take a partial rollover on a TSP? I'm still working.
How old are you?
70.
Oh, where would you put it? Why would you take it out?
I don't know, because they say there's other formats.
So do you intend to still work when you're 72?
Yeah.
Well, if you do, you don't want to do this, because if you leave it all in TSP and then you turn 72, you won't have to take required minimum distributions from the TSP. If you roll that over to an IRA and you're more flexible, you have things you can do with it, you're going to have to start paying taxes on a portion every year once you turn 72.
Even though you're still working.
Yeah, it's only for the employer plan of the employer you're working for that the RMDs are deferred, not any other retirement plan.
Oh, okay. That's
and the TSP
thing.
Is the only plan your employer has, so that's the only plan. As a matter of fact, if you have IRAs outside of TSP, when you turn 71, you should roll them all into the TSP, even though you lose some flexibility with the money.
Oh, okay. That's a good point.
Now, there's only one exception to this, and that is if you want to do charitable contributions. If you're doing charitable contributions, leave a nice hunk of money in your IRA to do qualified charitable distributions to your charities of choice. For example, let's say I'm doing $5,000 a year in charitable giving to my church and some other things, okay?
Right.
So then I would leave like $25,000 in an IRA. And every year for the next 5 years, I just take $5,000 out of my IRA and give it to charity. And then when I get to almost to the bottom of that $25,000, I'd roll over another $25,000 into my IRA, and I'd keep doing that because $5,000 is far greater than any RMD those IRAs could create.
Right.
All right? That would be a great strategy. All right?
I got another question. What's going on with Jim Rogers? He's been on your show, and he's got a lot of gloom and doom going on right now.
Jim Rogers has had gloom and doom going on since the very first time I ever listened to him in 1986. I saw him on the Round Table of Barons, and he was predicting the end of the world and has been predicting the end of the world financially since 1986. He's a brilliant investor. You just have to weed through the gloom and doom of his talk when you listen to Jim Rogers. He's a great guy, brilliant investor, but he definitely leans toward the pessimistic side of things always.
I think one thing you're saying is that eventually the government will do something about Bitcoin.
Well, it's possible. It's hard to say what they'll do, but, you know, virtual coins and virtual currencies are here to stay. It's just a matter of how they're going to be here to stay. But I will tell you, the central banks will protect their playground, and they make too much money to let somebody interfere with that. So it's something you always have to keep in mind. All right, I got to roll, my friend. Good questions.
Thanks.
All right, well, we got enough time for one more caller before the break, but if anyone else has a burning question, go ahead and get on the line now, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. But with that, let's talk to Tom in Towson. Tom, how can we help you?
Hi. I have a portfolio in my IRA that's about 50-50, 50 stock ETFs and 50% bond ETFs. This was created by a financial advisor who I'm not too confident with.
Okay.
And I want to make a contribution for 2021, but I don't want to. Why would I want to put any money into a intermediate or long-term bond ETF at this point in time with interest rates so low? Do you agree with me?
Well, we're very tentative and cautious about our bond portfolios right now. The Federal Reserve has been manipulating bonds for too long, and sooner or later they're going to lose control of that manipulation of keeping interest rates down as low as they are at these historic low levels. But, you know, I've been thinking that for many years now, so we're cautious and we're tentative about how much bond exposure we have. What we do is we try to keep our duration down, which means try to have shorter bonds to some degree. And we also try to look for alternatives from the bond market, like we look for some real estate deals that, you know, pay a nice steady income. Obviously, it's illiquid, so you can't put a lot of money in it. But your point is well taken, Tom, is that you have to be cautious about your bond side of your portfolio in today's interest rate environment. So I would agree with you.
Thank you. I appreciate your help.
All right. Not a problem, my friend.
Okay.
And, you know, if I don't know which IRA he's talking about, Mike, whether it's Roth or traditional, but if it's Roth, that should be full gung-ho equity portfolio anyway, you know?
So, yeah, absolutely.
And if it's
the
not,
last money he'll touch.
And if it's not Roth, he should have a Roth strategy and stop doing IRAs, traditional IRAs, and he should be doing Roth now anyway.
Unless he's on an income threshold for some tax treatment.
Yeah, unless he's got some quirky thing that he's got to get his income down below some AGI and so forth. Anyway, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. We don't have anybody online for the last quarter of the show, but right now we got to go to traffic.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show. We're on the last quarter hour of the show, and we do have a caller online. Hey, Mikey?
We do. I got to say
let me just say, everyone, we'd probably have time for one or two more callers, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to add that last bring-in that we had from Chris took me all the way back to my grandmother's house with the grandfather clock dinging around. But
there you go.
We don't have time for that, so let's go to Peter. Peter in Parkville, how can we help you?
Yes, hello.
How you doing, Peter?
I'm doing well. Listen, I'm way off topic here, okay?
No, you're not.
No.
Well, go ahead.
I'm getting the heck out of Maryland.
Okay.
I want to go to Montana.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if you know anything about Montana.
I know a good bit about Montana.
Do you really?
Yeah, I have very good friends that live in Libby, Montana, up near the Canadian border on the western side.
Okay. Near Saskatchewan.
It's probably about 30 miles at the most from the from their border. As a matter of fact, some very good friends of mine who live in Owings Mills are there right now in Libby, Montana. So
wow.
I know the state well, and if you're thinking about it from a tax point of view, it's not one of your preferential states in the country, unfortunately.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Let me give you a cool website to think about for.
I'm not online.
Well, okay, but you could find somebody to do it for you. It's called retirement. Our other listeners might want to know. It's called retirementliving.com.
Uh-huh.
And if you go into retirementliving.com and you just go into as an individual,
right.
And on the right side of the screen on the first homepage, it says taxes, state by state comparison,
right.
Tax comparison.
Right,
and you
right.
can pull up every single little bit of detail about every state's tax system. How much they charge for cigarettes, how much they charge for gasoline, how much they charge for sales tax, how much they charge for property tax, what's their income tax, what deductions do they give you as a retiree, what estate taxes they have, what inheritance taxes they have. And it's a great website if you're looking to shop. Let's just say the tax issues of each state. Now, you just go a little south to Wyoming, and you've hit a grand slam. It's probably the best state in the entire country from a tax point of view, because their property taxes are low, their sales taxes are low, their income taxes is none. And, their gas tax, their cigarette tax, everything in Wyoming is cheap. They're a very conservative state.
So Wyoming is something that I should be looking towards as well.
Wyoming, if you like that area of the country and you like mountains and so forth, Wyoming would be far better than Montana.
Okay. Well, that's excellent to know because... You know, I'm calling way off topic. You know, I know you do a financial show, and I'm talking about going. You know.
Yeah, but you know that's a big topic that we have with our clients, because we are a Maryland advisor. Now, you know where I live. I'm in Amelia Island, Florida, right now, talking with you. Because
really?
I've told my clients so many times that when you get older and you're, you know, thinking about retirement and stuff, you need to be getting out of Dodge, because Maryland's doing nothing to keep us there.
No,
they're
it's
not
horrible.
It's horrible. And they don't seem to care at all. They're like, see you later. Goodbye. We don't care, you know, and that's fine. Then we'll just go and So I know a lot about every state because I've got clients that are looking. We got clients, Mike, in 30 some states in the country.
Oh, no, more than that.
It's wow. more than 30-some wow. states in the country and two countries in the world. So
that they have U.S. addresses, SEC. They have U.S. addresses.
Yeah, they have U.S. addresses. And they do have U.S. addresses. So
wow.
anyway, so it's a very important topic to a true professional financial advisor. They should understand state-by-state tax systems. And I'd say right. we probably do income taxes for 20 or 21 states in the in the country. So I know
wow,
we do
amazing.
We do
amazing.
California, we do Idaho, we do Pennsylvania, we do North Carolina, we do South Carolina, and the list goes on. So anyway, we got to run, Peter. Good question, my friend.
And if we can squeeze another one in, we've had Jim in Ellicott City waiting for a bit. Jim, how can we help you?
Yes, hi. I got a portfolio diversification question. Domestic versus international stocks at this point in time, if you go back historically over the last decade or more, U.S. stocks have trumped international. What's your perspective going forward as far as...
So I think you're clearly in favor of international stocks to some degree, especially Asia, in my opinion, not Europe as much. But I would never get carried away with, so in other words, when we are optimistic internationally, we might drop our 70% U.S. position down to 60 or possibly as low as 55, but that's about it. You know, I'm not going to, my clients are U.S. citizens and they deal in U.S. dollars. I don't need to take the currency risk on as well as the stock market risk. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. So overemphasize international, but just don't get carried away.
So you're thinking a 60-40 U.S. international mix is probably
60-40, 55-45 is the absolute top end we would go.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, buddy. Take care. Good question, though. Very good.
All right, and I think the last caller of the night, Richard in Joppa, how can we help you?
Yes, sir. I had a CD come due, and they're not paying nothing, and I was wondering if annuity would be a safe investment.
Well, it depends. It depends on what you're looking for. The problem with most annuities, and it depends, the word annuity is used about 50 different ways, okay? There are fixed annuities, there are index annuities, there's guaranteed withdrawal annuities, there's immediate annuities, there are tax-sheltered annuities, and I could go on for probably another 30 more times, okay?
Uh-huh.
And so it depends on what kind of annuity you're talking about. But here's the problem, Richard. Most annuities come with ridiculous commissions and fees to the people that sell those things.
Is that right?
So the number one thing you have to do is look for a no commission annuity. So if, and there's plenty of them now. They're, you know, within the last 4 or 5 years, no commission annuities have become very prominent and very easy to get. And you're not stuck. You know, if you buy an annuity from one of these commission people, you put $100,000 in there and they're going to take a $10,000 commission, and you're going to be stuck in that annuity for 10 years until you can get out without penalty. If you buy a fee only one, no commissions, you could put your money in and 90 days later get out without any penalty if you change your mind.
I see.
Be careful with annuities. They also, depending on which one you're talking about, they come with a lot of fees and expenses. These insurance companies are in no way, shape, or form benevolent. So remember that. So make sure you get good advice. Don't assume that an annuity is a safe product, and don't assume that what you're getting or what you're hearing is what you're getting, because insurance companies train their salespeople to use jargon that makes you think you're getting X when you really you're getting, you know, ABC.
I see. Drew, could is it a possibility you could lose your principal?
It is theoretically possible, but you don't see it very often. The way you could lose your principal is if the insurance company went bankrupt. And that does happen. It just is highly unlikely that that will happen, because there's a lot of companies that would do everything possible to make sure that the shareholders or policyholders don't hear that somebody lost all their money or 50% of their money in an annuity.
Yeah, these representatives tell me I can't lose my principal.
Well, if the insurance company goes under, you can definitely lose it. And they'll give you then, well, the state of Maryland has an insurance fund. Yeah, there's probably like 1 cent for every dollar invested in annuity in their insurance fund. So don't believe them. But, you know, MetLife, Northwestern Mutual, they're not going to want everybody know that anybody lost any money in an annuity. So don't get me wrong. You can lose money in them, but hopefully it will not ever happen.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Thank you very much, Drew.
All right, buddy. The key, though, Mike, is do not buy an annuity from a salesperson making a commission. That's the number one thing to remember. All right, Mikey, I got to go. How about you?
Have a good evening.
This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Just fine if you only feel what I'd like to do to you. Jolly people you love with love. Show them the way you feel. Things are going to be